Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me ask you all a question. How many in here believe that God makes mistakes? If you believe God makes mistakes, I want you to raise your hand. That's what I thought. God never makes mistakes. You say, well, why would you ask us that? I ask you that to say this. If you notice, we have all these different books that they're finding. They're finding all these books. They're finding them in caves, and they're finding them in valleys, and they're finding them under waterfalls, and you name it, they're finding them. You know, different books that they found. But I honestly believe, according to the word of God, that God does not make mistakes. And if God don't make mistakes, that means that whatever God has in the Bible is supposed to be there. Anything that ain't there ain't supposed to be there. Or God in his infinite wisdom, Romans says he is the only wise God, he would have had them in there. So why are we spending so much time teaching something that in the book that we read from Genesis to Revelations? What it does, it produces a spirit of confusion. And the Bible says God is not the author of confusion. Everyone has a ministry that God has given them, and that's the ministry that they are to bring forth. But I'm your pastor, and I'm going to look out for you. And this is garbage. That's garbage. And if you receive one, nothing against the man of God, throw it in the trash. It's garbage. It ain't in here, so it ain't no good. God didn't make a mistake. He knew exactly what he was doing. There were a lot of things said over this week. Some were good, some were not good. But that's with everything. I say some things that are good and I say some things that are not good. They correct me all the time. Amen. There's nothing wrong with being corrected. It's good to be corrected because it makes you want to search out the truth. Amen. And we know that God's word is the truth. So as we hear certain things, we wonder, is that so? For instance, do you know that we have giants in the land today? We do. We have folks that are 7'6", 7'8", and can run a 100-yard dash in 60 seconds, or however quick that is. Have you ever heard of anybody being able to weigh 380 pounds and run from this, from the front of this aisle up there in 2 seconds, 3 seconds? That's an amazing feat for you to be that heavy and to be able to be that agile and move the way that you can move. There are giants. In the Bible here, they are called Nephilim. Not going to get into that because then we'll be going through something totally different. God destroyed man. God made the statement that I hate the day that I ever created man. There was a reason. There was a purpose behind that. We know that in the first chapter or the second chapter of Genesis, God told Adam and Eve, he said, I want you to multiply and replenish the earth. But see, you have to remember, God had created them in his image and in his what? In his likeness. So if they replenish the earth, it would be in whose image? It would be after whose likeness? That was the main, that was the manifold plan, that they create in the image and the likeness of God in the earth. But we know that, brother, they fell in the garden, and they screwed up in the garden, and God kicked them out of the garden. Then he told him he would live off the the earth for the rest of his days. That blessing, he had lost part of that blessing that God had given him. So as we are over here in the sixth chapter of Genesis, we need to start in the fifth chapter, really, to really get some type of good insight into what God is trying to tell us. You don't mind if I kind of teach a little bit this morning, do you? Amen. Glory to God. If you look in the fifth chapter of Genesis, we'll start with the first verse. It says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. Now, remember what God said. God told him to recreate or reprocreate in his image and in his likeness. Well, we're looking at the generations of Adam all of a sudden and not the generations of God. Does it seem like something is changing? The book of generation of Adam, in the day that God created man in the likeness of God, he made him. Now remember, it says, God created man in whose likeness? In the likeness of God. He made male and female, created he them. And God did what? He blessed them, and he called their name Adam. We won't get into that because that's another 40 minutes yet. Amen. Nevertheless, in their name, called their name Adam in the day when they were what? Created. It says, you need to underline this. You need this next verse, you need to underline, or you need to write it down. It says, and Adam lived at 130 years and begot a son in his what? Say it again. Is that what God told him to do? God didn't tell him to have a son in his own likeness. He said reproduce the earth and replenish the earth in what? In God's likeness and in God's image. But Adam is rewriting the script. He decided that I'm going to have a son in my own likeness and after my own image. I don't know about you, but it sounds to me a little bit, Tyrone, like he just canceled God out the picture. He just told God, I don't need you no more. I got this. I can do this on my own now. I can have my own son. He can look like me. He can act like me. He don't have to look like you, God. And he don't have to act like you, God, because he's my son and not yours. Oh, yep, that's right. Uh-oh. And he called his name Seth. Jump over to the sixth chapter. Now remember, don't forget the fifth chapter. He had his own son. He had a son in his own likeness after his own image and not God's likeness and not God's image. So you have to remember, every descendant born after that was born into what? Adam's likeness. They were just like Adam. Now you have to remember something about Adam. Adam was so smart, so intelligent, that God kicked his tail out in the garden. So see, we hear over in the sixth chapter, I want you to understand something else. The number six stands for the number of man. No other number. Another number I need to bring up that was brought up, the number 11, which is said it was the number of new beginning. It is not the number of new beginning. It is the number of what, Brother Tim? Disorder. The number 11 represents disorder. The number 8 is the number of new beginning. I hope you're writing this down. Number 8 is the number of new beginning. Number 11 is the number of disorder. So, nevertheless, so we're in the sixth chapter, which is only fair because it's all about man. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth that daughters were born unto them. Now, how many hear that? When men began to multiply. It should have been said when sons of God were beginning to multiply. But it's saying when men are beginning to multiply. What do we see here? What we see here is the sons of Adam multiplying. We see them multiply. Now you have to remember something. Adam represents what? Flesh. deviousness, deceitfulness. This is what Adam represents. And now this is what's manifesting in the earth. Men began to multiply. They began to grow, or they increased in the face of the earth, or in the presence of the earth. And there were daughters that were born unto them. They had daughters. Now here go the tricky part. You got to listen. You got to pay close attention to this one. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were what? Fair. And that they took them wives, all of which they what? Chose. See, this is where it gets funny at. You cannot use Greek to interpret Hebrew. You can only interpret Hebrew with Hebrew. Anything in the Old Testament can only be interpreted by Hebrew. Folks are trying to use Greek to interpret Hebrew, and it is totally impossible because you don't get the same scenario or you don't get the same answers. So, seeing that we're going to interpret some of these words through the Hebrew, we'll get a better understanding. It says, and the sons of God saw. See the word saw? The word saw, it means to gaze upon, or it means to discern or to perceive. Usually if I tell you I saw Brother Sean on 7 Mile, that means I saw him. But when it says that the sons of God saw them, they perceived and they discerned. They were looking on the inside of them. They saw, they perceived that there was something in them that was like them. Okay. So as they saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. When it says that they were fair, it means that they were fair golden or golden colored, or that they were like them. They were like them. Anybody, anytime you find somebody that's like you, you want to get with them. They were like them, so they wanted to get with them. And when it says, and they took of them wives, the word wives doesn't mean that they married them. The word wives means women. In the Hebrew, the word wives, it is translated, it means women. So what they did, they saw the daughters of men, or daughters that had come out of Adam, daughters that had come out of Adam, which were also deceitful. Y'all don't hear me. Deceitful. Neglectful, hateful, angry, spiteful. This is what the angels saw. Well, you have to remember, these are fallen angels. Now we get to this concept. A lot of people came to me after this service asking me about this concept. That the giants were created because the angels... There's too many kids in here, had affairs with the women. Consummated relationship with the women. Well, if that were possible, it could be. But seeing that angels, Brother Hart used to teach on angels all the time. If you know anything about an angel, you know that an angel is neither male nor female. How many hear me? So if an angel is neither male nor female, that means they have no working parts. I was working on a word. I'm glad somebody threw it out there. So it's really just common sense. If they don't have any working parts, how can they work magic? Writing this down. How can they work magic? They cannot work magic if they don't have any working parts. But what they did have the ability to do was influence them. They had the power and the ability to influence their walk. It says, And you ask yourself, why would they want to influence their walk? Because this was part of Satan's plan to stop the promised seed that God has spoke of in the second chapter of Genesis. When he said the woman's seed shall bruise your head and your head shall bruise his heel, or however it goes, he was trying to stop that by doing what? Allowing man to multiply himself in the earth to cut God off. So now that we do have a clear understanding that the angels and the women didn't fornicate, but that they were influencing them, they were teaching them how to be more evil than they already were. They were teaching them how to disobey a God, how to deny God, how to say there is no God. They were teaching them these things. All the things that they got kicked out of heaven for, they were now influencing the women. Because see, what most few folks fail to realize, most women control the men. And they knew that. That's why they went straight to the women. Because they knew that all the seeds that would come out of the women that were men would be influenced by the mothers. It's quiet in this house. Y'all wasn't that quiet when y'all was told that them angels had sex with them women. Nevertheless, let's move on. Then he says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. The word my spirit is my invisible force shall not always strive. The word strive means in the Hebrew, my spirit will not always remain in man. How can God's spirit remain in a man that don't want him? God's not going to make you serve him. You have to be willing to serve him. So God's spirit's not going to always be within man. So seeing that God's spirit's not always going to strive in man or be within man, that he also is flesh. When Adam got kicked out of the garden, he left the garden with part of the presence of God. He didn't lose everything that God gave him. He still had part of God's presence with him. But when he began to procreate in his own image and in his own likeness, he divorced himself from God. The moment he no longer wanted to reproduce after the nature and the character of the Father, he divorced God. By him divorcing God, now everything that was born under him and under Eve was all flesh. How many know what all flesh is? Unruly, unkind. Is it in Ephesians or Philippians? Galatians, it's like it says in Galatians, for the manifestations of the flesh, the works of the flesh are these, and it's a bunch of them. It's a bunch of them. So this is what God had to deal with. All of a sudden, he was dealing with this. So God said, look at here, oh my God. So after all this, the man also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years old. Now God done said, you can't. I'm cutting your years now. Because if I don't cut your years, you're going to run me out of business, buddy. You're going to create an earth where there is no God. And I'm not going to let that happen. So we see here about the giants. There were giants, flesh and spirit, or there were now giants. They had been influenced to the fact that they were more angrier than normal. They were meaner than normal. They were bigger than normal. Anything that was norm on the norm, they were now double that. They were haters of God, great haters of God. And they were called the Nephilim. Well, we find out that even after all this in Genesis, the Nephilim, they even continue. Well, we'll get to that. So the idea that God destroyed the earth because of the giants is false. The reason God destroyed the earth was because of the nature of man had become all flesh, meaning that there was no God in them whatsoever. Because if God destroyed the earth because of the giants, they would have never been able to re-exist. He would have made sure every last one of them died. But he wanted to destroy the earth because it's God that said they were giants, daughters of men, and they bear children. Anyone see the word bear? We're in the fourth verse. And they bear children. The word bear means to make violent or cause them to wrongfully imagine. That's the Hebrew definition for it, to make wrong or to wrongfully imagine. See, it's important that we understand what these words mean, because if we understand what the words mean, then we understand what God is trying to say to us. That's why the Bible says you have to study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, so that you can't get tricked. I don't want you ever to take my word on anything. Study it for yourself. Find out if it be true. Amen. So they became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. When it talks about old men of renown, it's talking about, we get into Greek mythology. You know, the Ulysses and the Hercules and all that kind of stuff. Zeus and all that, right. But I'm not getting into that this morning. And God saw that the wickedness of man, now listen very closely. This is the reason that God destroyed the earth right here. It's self-explanatory. And God saw that the wickedness, how many see that? The word wickedness here in the Hebrew means lewdness and moral depravity. That man was so great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts in his heart was only evil continually. Can you believe ideas? Every idea that he has is to do evil. Is to hate, to be violent. And God is a God of love. That's why God was going to destroy the world, because in a man's heart was evil. His imagination, his thoughts were evil continually. That's like continuous, like a wheel just continues to roll. It never stops. It meant they went to sleep with evil ideas. They woke up with evil ideas. They ate with evil ideas. They worked with evil ideas. They played with evil ideas. Everything, all the time, their ideas were evil. It was nothing good about them. That's the reason God wanted to destroy the earth, was because man's thoughts and ideas were evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Why? Because God created man and formed man out of the very depths of his heart. God created man out of love. Can you imagine your love creation now is a hater? Your love creation is now continually evil. Your love creation is always thinking about how to do evil continually. Can you imagine what that would do to your heart? Some of you know already. You have children that have done it to you. Amen. So it repented the Lord. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Regardless of what is going on around you, you can be different. Huh? You can be different. In spite of the Nephilim or those that are giant in character and evilness, you can still have the love of God. In spite of the pain and affliction, persecution, you can still manifest and radiate with the love of God. Because you'll find favor in the sight of God. Well, somebody's asking, well, if God destroyed everything, how did they make it over? Because God is a God of his word. God told Noah, Noah, you got to take two of everything. How many heard that? You got to take two of everything. So he took two beasts. Guess what else he took? Two giants. He had to take two of everything. That's what God told him. He couldn't leave. He had to take two of everything. My God, y'all don't hear me this morning. Lord, have mercy. But it don't matter, because we can find sight, we can find favor in the eyes of God. And let me tell you something else. Jesus said, Emmanuel, meaning God in you. How many know what the word Christ means in the Greek? It means the anointed one. If you are born again and Jesus is living in you, guess what you've got in you? The anointed one. So if you've got the anointed one in you, when the anointing begins to flow, I dare you to try to take it to another level. Because what you're telling me is, you know God better than I do. And I think not. God is trying to create in us a corporate anointing so that the anointing can flow up. See, this is what Adam was doing, only in a different sense. He was trying to create a corporation of flesh. But God didn't stand for it. But I'm excited today because God's anointing is creating a corporation between us, that the power of God might flow up out of our lives, that we might increase, not in stature, but in humbleness and in wisdom and in knowledge and in the love of God. This is what God is calling us to. God ain't calling us to all this other stuff, all these crazy stuff. Folks be trying to give me all kind of books. I say, man, I don't want your book. I got my Bible. You keep your book. That book you're reading, that's why you think you ain't never gonna die. It's people out there preaching that you'll never die. But the word of God says it's appointed unto every man to die once. I ain't never found it to be a lie. But I tell you what, when I do leave here, I'm gonna pass right on into another glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So don't let nobody trick you. Don't ever be confused in your spirit. God is not the author of confusion. God is true to his word. Hallelujah. The glory of the living God is going to do some things in our lives that are going to reawaken things that we've thought have fallen short. But God's going to renew us by his power. Everyone stand. Hallelujah. My God, my God. I like it when y'all quiet. That means you're listening. Or you sleep. Don't matter. Even if you sleep, you're still listening. Hallelujah. You better study your word so you will know your word. So you can't get twisted up. Every year, the same man says that Jesus is coming. And folks start stockpiling water. stockpiling food. I want one of them next door to me so they can give me some of mine when they find out he didn't come. That's because they're not studying to show themselves approved, and they don't know the word that God has put within their spirits. We have got to know the word of God for ourselves. Because when it comes down to the end where the rubber meets the road, it's going to be you and your God. And you're going to have to know who you are. And you're going to have to know who he is. And you're going to have to know the power and authority that you have in him that you can make it. Amen. Because other than that, you ain't going to make it on fairy tales. And you ain't going to make it going to Disneyland. You got to have some reality of God in your life. And it only comes through the word of the Lord. The word of God is our strength. The word of God gives us the ability to go when everything else around us tells us that we can't. When you have pain so bad that you can't even stand it, the word of God builds up an anointing within your spirit. You say, you know what? I bind you and I'm going on anyway. Amen. It's the power of God, saints. Amen. I want to lay hands on everybody this morning, if you would don't mind, that God give us the spirit of wisdom and knowledge so that we can decipher and understand that which we hear, that it don't seek us out and destroy us or cause us to stumble, but that we might walk this walk the way God has desired and commanded that we walk it. Amen. Please come.